everybody. That is my cue. This Week in the Arts on the Blog Talk Radio and Affiliate Networks is brought to you by the Illustrators Journal and ArtToday.tv. Check us out on the web via www.illustratorsjournal.com and do follow on Twitter via @TIJournal. So I'm Greg Masters, the producer and moderator of This Week in the Arts, known to some on Twitter as @2HealthGuru. I'm the co-founder and co-editor of the Illustrators Journal, and I'm in the virtual studio today with my colleague, co-founder at Illustrators Journal, and co-host, the ever-talented Mr. Lon Levin. Hey, Lon.
Hey, Greg.
What's up?
How you doing?
Glad you could join us. So do follow Lon on Twitter via @CreativeHouse, and that's CREATIVEHOUSE. And now for today's special guest, fine artist and patient activist, Shelley Zentner. Do follow Shelley on Twitter via the handle @ShelleyZen, which is a pretty cool Twitter handle. Shelley is an economist in words. She describes herself, at least on her Twitter bio, as "I'm a figurative artist who paints in oils." But there's a whole lot more to her story. So, Alon, over to you. Help us get to know this amazing artist and her activism.
Okay, great. Thanks, Greg. And hi, Shelley. How are you doing?
Hi, Alon. I'm very good. Thank you. How are you?
Good. I'm doing good. It's sunny down here. I know it's sunny up there. And I actually have your website right in front of me. I'm looking at Marie Curie, and it's quite a painting. And the little film that people, if you want to see something really, really incredible, you got to go to Shelley's site and take a look at the film about her painting, Marie Curie. It's really neat, and I really like what you did.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm going to start at the beginning, so to speak, as we talked a little earlier. And what fascinated me when I was reading through some of your information was that you were, at least the earliest I saw, was you were drawing nude figures at 12. And I can relate to this somewhat, although I think I was drawing nude figures at 12 for different reasons than you. My mother actually was an artist, and she had a book of nude drawings, and I kind of, well, I'll just put it this way. I defaced them in my, that was my first.
I did
learning.
That too.
Oh, did you really?
Oh, yeah.
Really, I was fascinated. And then my mother said to me, well, if you're so interested, why don't I take you to class with me? And that started me out. So I'm wondering, how did you start? When did you feel the urge to start getting involved in art? Tell us a little bit that.
Well, when I was in school, I didn't know what I wanted to be or what I wanted to do until there was a moment that I remember quite distinctly where we were in art class, and there was one girl who couldn't be trusted with the art materials, so they sat her in the middle of a group of us to be the model and gave us all a piece of paper each and some charcoal and chalk. And said, "You're going to draw this girl." So she had to sit still. And it was the first time I'd drawn anybody from life before. And it was amazing. Just this person appeared on my piece of paper. And I couldn't believe it. It looked just like her. And I was thrilled. I was like, oh, there's a thing I can do. Oh, my goodness. And the teacher was amazed as well, because I'd not shown any skill in art at all before that. And she took the drawing and she put it in the staff room, the teacher's staff room. And so all of these teachers kept coming up to me and going, oh, that drawing is fantastic. It's, you know, we know just who it is. It really empowered me, you know. It was like, oh, I have an ability. I have a thing. And so I just started chasing it after that, and started.
How old were you when that happened?
11.
11.
I was 11. I think 11 or 12. It was very early on anyway. And then I started taking figure drawing classes at the local art gallery, and that was at 12, and I just loved it. I really found an affinity with working with charcoal, working with the human form. I was hooked.
Yeah, I noticed that with some of your charcoal drawings, which I think are absolutely fantastic. And you know, I used to do, obviously when I going through art school, I did a lot of charcoal drawings, and I could not stand charcoal because it was messy and it smeared all over the paper, and you know, you put it in your crappy portfolio, right? And it would just smear all over everything. And I said to myself, I hate charcoal, you know. But I marvel at people who can draw in charcoal like you can. It's really a talent, because you know how to use the different angles of the charcoal you're using to get effects on the page. Fantastic.
So, oh, thank you. My students don't like working with charcoal for the mess at first either, and I always tell them you're gonna have to get messy, and I make them just not wash their hands, and by the end of it, the vast majority of them absolutely love it, and they've got charcoal mustaches because they've been wiping their it all over their faces and all over their clothes, and yeah, that's all part of the process. It's part of the sort of messy fun of it. I love it.
Yeah, you know, I get a lot of fun out of painting and getting paint all over me, but for some reason charcoal rubs me the wrong way, so to speak. But I wanted to ask you about your inspirations. You say are Rodin and Michelangelo, two of my favorites as well, particularly Rodin. I've been to Paris, and I think there's a garden or something of Rodin stuff, and it's marvelous, and it's black, and it's. And so, how did that happen? How did you come upon Rodin and Michelangelo?
Just through art history books. I had quite an enlightened uncle who would buy me art history books when I was a kid, and I would just marvel at the images that I was seeing. I hadn't understood nothing about them really. I just saw all these twisting, turning bodies, and they all look really powerful. And I liked that. And I was like, oh, I want to try and capture that. And for some reason at first sculpture appealed to me more, not because I wanted to be a sculptor, but because of the sort of gravitas of the sculptures that I was looking at. And so, I made charcoal drawings of those sculptures, and that really led me more towards painters. So a lot of my work does feel quite sculptural in a way. And it's strange that I never really got into sculpture. I think it's just the process, the sort of there was too much process involved in it. I like quite direct work, and I think that's one of the reasons why I really like charcoal, because it doesn't involve much. It's just a piece of stick of, you know, wood, burnt wood, and some paper, and that's all you need, and I really like that.
Yeah,
there's nothing between me and the process then.
I'm curious, you know, because in your site it said you were talking about the influence of darkness, and you know, coming from where you came in Wales, and that influencing your work, and also Peter Pendergast was a teacher of yours or an influence, but his work is so, I look at it as kind of almost like Cézanne's crazy brother or something. You know, his work is so guttural and powerful, and yours is not quite like that. You know, but those dark influences. Can you explain that and how that filtered into your work?
So Peter Prendergast was my teacher on a foundation course, which is a pre-degree course that many art students do in the UK. It's 1 year. It's like an intensive course that prepares you for university, in terms of you get to try a bit of everything and really decide, you know, what what branch of art you want to go into. And he was this, he's this, like I say, you know, this really sort of gruff painter. And we actually locked horns quite a lot. I was not his favorite student at all. There was nothing that I did that appealed to him at all. And it was kind of vice versa, really. But it was only later on that I really started to appreciate all of the lessons that he taught me and the influence that came through. And because he was all about working really intuitively from life and about just putting marks down and not thinking about them too much. And even though I ended up becoming quite a technical sort of drafts person, should I say, and more recently, but very quite sort of classically influenced oil painter, of which I learned nothing from him of that at all. The sort of the types of marks and the approach that he advocated has really stayed with me, and I was still really grateful for that. You know, he brought an energy to my work that hadn't really been there before, and it actually provided me with an awesome outlet for the anger that I felt at the time. And you know, I really needed that, and channeling it properly was very therapeutic for me.
Yeah, it's interesting because in some of the paintings that you've done, I'm looking at one in particular right now called Sujet. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah,
that one in particular seems to have those very powerful lines, dark, light. It's where that influence kind of comes out. I can see it in your work. It's fascinating how you took that and then reinterpreted it. So I wanted to let's get into Tahoe because that's where you guys are and it's so fabulous and I want to live there as well. But who wouldn't, right?
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
And not just for the gambling, right? So. How did you decide to live in Tahoe? I mean, you're in Wales, and how would you ever think of Tahoe? I can't imagine anybody in Wales thinking of Tahoe. That's like craziness. But can you explain how that happened?
Well, actually Tahoe and North Wales have a lot in common. Where I lived is at the foot of Snowdon, the highest mountain in I think it's England and Wales. And so Tahoe's got that mountain town connection too. But what happened was I had my own, after I graduated, I opened my own art gallery in Better Secoyd. And it started out as an open studio and I got grants and funding and sponsorship and it was all seemingly going really, really well. And then I just kept building it up. And then the opening night of I refurbished the gallery and it turned it into the thing that I thought I wanted. I looked around me and just went, oh, I don't want this. I put in all of this work. And
wow.
I'd plowed so much energy into the business side of things that I just couldn't paint anymore. I had nothing left.
Were you exhibiting other people's work as well as your own, or how was that working?
No, it was just my own my own work. And so I created this platform for myself for my work, and it was this beautiful thing, you know, it really was. And I was in partnership with local businesses and all of that kind of stuff, but it just sucked out all the life out of my own work. And so I kind of limped along for a little bit longer, and then it came to my 30th birthday, and you know, like a lot of people, it, you know, one of those landmark birthdays can sort of trigger some thoughts of making some big changes. And so I decided to just pack it all in and go traveling. I literally sold all my clothes, all my possessions, everything, nothing that wouldn't fit in the rucksack stayed. And then I set off, I went to Canada to visit a friend because I didn't have any idea where I was going to start or anything. I just wanted the journey to be completely open. And so I went there and then just started moving. Then I flew to British Columbia. I bought a camper van and just started traveling. And 3 months later, I met my husband, and we were both rock climbing together, and we traveled together for a long time and started thinking about putting down some roots somewhere. And my uncle actually lived in Tahoe in the Incline Village at the time. So I came to visit him to just to get some ideas. And I actually had to deliver a guitar for a friend down to Southlake. It was a friend who I'd met on the road, and he couldn't take this guitar back. So I delivered it back to his friend, and I looked around and was like, oh, I actually really like it here. This is cool. We could try this, you know? And so that was my first time here. And I've been pretty much here ever since.
And how long has that been?
13 years now.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been a while.
That's amazing. So tell me about the activist part of the community of artists in Tahoe, and then the activist part. Is that all kind of together or two separate things? Am I mixing them up? What?
No, not really. I mean, when I first moved here, it was really hard to find any kind of community. It was, I found it took years to fall in with any kind of crowd, to make friends. And, you know, even though I'm an introvert, I'm actually quite gregarious. And it was tough for me. You know, even though I knew lots of rock climbers and I had sort of climbing friends, I didn't really have many artist friends. And so when it was only really very recently that I started connecting with other artist friends, really. And some of it's been through having a kid, you know, meeting other artists through the fellow parents. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people in my group are actually, you know, I met them through the school. But the real catalyst was the presidential election. And
that's been a catalyst for a lot of things.
I know, right? I've been amazed at just how prolific people have really been, you know, across the board in all different kinds of creative endeavors. So, you know, and it's not just the presidential election here, but just what's going on in Syria, in Europe, in Russia, you know, with going on with the environment. You know, it's like it's just forced so many creative people to just really, really double down on their efforts. And if, you know, it's like all the music that I really like, the musicians are all making really cool albums about, you know, sort of the revolution and sort of looking to the future, looking to the past, you know, joining the dots. It's, you know, we're all kind of quite switched on now.
Yeah, I think that from my point of view, that there hasn't been as much activism or thought about what's going on in the world now, because we're all so connected, since the 60s when I was growing up, when mm-hmm. there was a lot of this type of stuff going on. But this is now global, and there's scarier aspects to it, you know. And I think mm-hmm. what it's done is it's brought, for me personally, it's brought out, you know, the differences that you see between people. It's almost like, well, you got all these creative, sensitive, sensible people on one side, and then you have all these others that have come up out of from under the rocks, and it's scary. It is.
I feel like that. Sorry, carry on.
No, go.
I feel like in some ways it's kind of exposed a lot of, like exposed the underbelly of humanity, and I think that can't be a bad thing ultimately. I mean, obviously everything that's going on right now is horrible. You know, when I heard about Charlottesville in particular, I was just horrified.
Unbelievable.
But at the same time, you know, I'm very hopeful that the where this is leading is like a new consciousness, a new awareness, and you know, when once you know what's out there, then you can deal with it. You know, you can confront it, and you know, I'm not talking about violence or war, but you know, ideologically, you know, educationally confront these issues. You know, if they're underground, if we don't know about them, then how can we educate our kids about, you know, these things? You know, it's just got, you know, things being out in the open, it can't be a bad thing ultimately,
right?
To my mind,
definitely needs to be more interaction between both sides, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you a question, you know, about, because you've mentioned climbing a bunch of times, and I've looked at your mm-hmm. climbing art, and it seems to be a little bit different than the other parts of the art, because it seems almost a little bit more active, hearkening back to what you said about the Rodin, you know, the movement of the
yeah.
muscles and stuff. And I think there's so much movement in your drawings there. And what does that mean to you to do, you know, the climbing and your, you know, however much you want to get into your health situation, health advocacy,
mm-hmm.
is that tied together? Because one's a physical activity and something that, you know, obviously is important to you.
Well,
I don't know if that was a question or not. But
well, it is all connected. I mean, for me, everything is connected ultimately, you know, personally, environmentally, you know, universally, whatever. But so I started climbing when I was 21, actually over here. And I'd always been interested in the human form. And I really, as you said, that I really like Rodin and Michelangelo and all of these, you know, these artists who were making really dynamic images of humans. And once I'd started climbing, it gave me a new vocabulary, a new subject to use, and it really wasn't being done by anybody else at that time, so it was a great, you know, avenue for specialization for me, and it's what I built my career on in the UK. And it was great for a really long time, but ultimately I became so sort of invested in it that I stopped enjoying both of them, because one, you know, climbing became like work, and everything became like work, and it sort of sucked the joy of it out of it for me, really. So I decided to separate them. But as a climber, that, you know, I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2005. And so as a climber, that was pretty shocking and horrible for me, because I had to have like massive surgery on my chest, and
mm-hmm.
it threatened my ability to climb again. So I ended up opting for a double mastectomy instead of, I could have had a lumpectomy with radiation, but that would have probably damaged my shoulders. So I opted for the surgery. So, I'm healthy now. I'm good, and I'm climbing again. And you know, I was climbing, actually 6 months later. I was back to full power again, but not without huge amounts of personal effort and training and commitment to health. And it was a rough time.
Was there any? I know that I went through. Not what you've gone through with cancer, but I had open heart surgery 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that when I was an athlete before then. So I just, and my main focus has always been running. And
yeah.
it was important to me to get back to running, because I felt like I'd been reborn. And,
yeah.
and yet every time I go out and still run, and I've run marathons and stuff, I still, if I feel something, I worry. Am I going to have a heart
mm-hmm.
attack? I feel so good, but am I going to have a heart attack? Do you worry about any of this in terms of stopping your physical activity, or are you just dedicated to it and love doing it? And doesn't matter.
Well, I guess it's a little different for me. I mean, I worry about recurrence a lot. Less than I did, you know, even a couple of months ago. It sort of gets a little easier all the time. But for me, exercise helps my state of mind and helps my body to stay healthy. So, you know, then I didn't have like a heart issue. But, you know, I worry about, you know, breaking bones, or, you know, now that I'm at more of a risk for osteoporosis, you know, I worry about that sometimes, because, you know, I boulder, so I, you know, fall off rocks and stuff like that. But and sometimes my chest muscles get really tight, and it's kind of easy for me to overstretch them, my pecs, because the implants had to go underneath my pectoral muscles, and so they, you know, that they can get really, really tight sometimes. And if I've stopped doing pull-ups because it hurts my chest so much, but I can still climb all right. But in fact, I'm stronger than I've ever been. But I do have to sort of pay attention to things like that, and, you know, make sure that I don't, you know, mess myself up. But I also do a lot more self-care than I've ever done before now, you know, because I understand the importance of self-care. You know, I think that's part of, you know, getting older as well. But, you know, I never had regular massages before, partly because I couldn't afford them. But, you know, now I'm a little bit older and working and all of that kind of stuff, I make sure that I allocate, you know, money and time for things like that, to make sure that my body, you know, doesn't fail and doesn't get jammed up again, because it takes a long time to, you know, to rehab yourself, doesn't it? You know, so you've got to start off on these things.
So let's jump over to my awkward segue. the community of artists, because I'm personally interested in this, because I do plan on moving up there, hopefully, and being part of this, or even being part of it.
Awesome.
I'm a virtual community member, but tell me a little bit about the Tahoe community that works and what that's all about.
So I after the election, I like everybody else, probably was just, you know, shattered really, and you know, wanted to do something, and I've never been politically active at all. I really, you know, I'm a complete noob to all of this stuff. So I started just contacting all of the creative people in Tahoe that I knew, and like, let's form a group. Let's have a meeting. Let's do something. And so we did, and we had a meeting at Bonafide Books, which is a friend of mine, Kim Wyatt. She has this publishing small press in Myers, and so we all got together there, and the energy was fantastic. It was great. We were, you know, sort of sharing ideas and passions, and like, what can we do? Well, we're all creative. We have to be creative. That's what we can do. And so we decided to have regular meetings, and then we decided to put on a show, which we did in Tahoe Mountain Lab in, you know, September, and it just went really, really well. It's, you know, we're all about the ideas. You know, there's no, you know, we're not about, you know, becoming like a, you know, a profit making entity or anything like that. There's no bureaucracy. There's, you know, we're all quite just sort of fueled by our passions, really, and we support each other and what we're doing, and I think it's got legs. You know, we're going to have our next show at a High Vibe Society on November 5th, and that's, so we're moving.
This all, I'm sorry. is it what you're doing, all activist type artwork? Are there themes for what you're doing, or just people showing what they want?
Everybody's kind of doing their own thing. It's all activist themed, but in our, you know, we've all got different approaches. We've all got different sort of takes on how our artwork would express ideas, and so
that's a wonderful producer giving us some kind of a message. I don't know.
I hate to step on either of you, but we are running out of time here, so that will have to be the last word for today's broadcast. I want to thank our guest, Shelley Zentner, for sharing her story with us. Stay current with Shelley's work on Twitter via @ShelleyZen, and that's S-H-E-L-L-E-Y-Z-E-N, and on the web via two sites, www.ShelleyHocknell, and that's S-H-E-L-L-E-Y-H-O-C-K-N-E-L-L.com, and www.TahoeActivistArtist.com. We'll post Shelley's story to the journal shortly and feature her work as the first artist profiled in our series on Tahoe Activist Artists in the online digital magazine at the Illustrators Journal. Finally, do follow us on the web via www.illustratorsjournal.com and subscribe, and on Twitter via the @TIJournal as well. Until we meet again on This Week in the Arts, for Lon Levin, this is Greg Masters saying bye now.